Does this opportunity light me up and make me feel expansive? And like, is it a hell yes? Because if it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no. And that's all you have to know about it. And you can move on.
Welcome to the Influencer Podcast. I'm your host, Julie Solomon. If you found yourself here, it means you are ready to unleash the powerful visionary that lives inside you, turning you into an authentic leader who creates influence, impact, and change. Let's get started. Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Influencer Podcast. Happy spring, happy spring. I don't know if it's feeling like spring where you are, but it is starting to feel that way here, and I am soaking it up, this warm weather. I needed the vitamin D, so thank you, thank you, thank you for that. And it feels nice today. You know, we're getting into this new season, new renewal. It's always like a rebirth. The sun starts to shine, the flowers start to bloom. It puts me in a really abundant and gratitude type of feeling. And with that idea of renewal and of rebirth and really just learning new things, I wanted to give you a gift today. And that was bringing you in so you could join me for a recent pitching coaching call that I did inside my Pitch It Perfect coaching community. Not only are the students seeing so much support and amazing wins, but it really has lit this whole new light inside of me when it comes to my amazing program, Pitch It Perfect, and really what is possible with growth and branding. And there's a lot of things that I'm doing behind the scenes right now to completely revolutionize Pitch It Perfect and this opportunity to educate and to coach people that want it through pitching. So I wanted to give you access to a recent coaching call so you can hear, you know, a part of what happens each week. But most importantly, I want this coaching call to support you. So I hope that it helps you continue to move forward with gaining the confidence to ask for what you want and for what you are worth when it comes to pitching and brand deals. So if you are someone who is interested in pitching, interested in working with brands, wanting to learn a thing or two about that, then this episode is for you. You're going to love it.
I'm happy to kick us off.
Awesome.
So I'm really excited. I always watch the playbacks. I have several young kids and I'm not usually able to come live, but I just put them down for naps and I was like, it's happening. I'm going. This is the best. So I'm really I assume we're starting off with a win. So
yes. Yeah, that's how we always start these off, with wins, just to put us in a really good, abundant receiving mode.
Yes, I love that. So my win that I was so excited about these past couple of weeks is that I got my biggest paid deal that I've gotten yet, and it was over $2,000, which for me is like,
that's
really
huge.
Really exciting. Yeah. So I just felt super proud of that. And then,
so how did it all happen? Give us the skinny.
Okay. So one piece of it is that lately I have had so many yeses that were previously not yes. So I've had so many relationships that, like, in the past, the brand told me, no, we don't have a budget for that. And now, like, this is one of those brands. They told me not right now. And when I circle back, now it's this amazing paid deal. So I felt like that was really encouraging. And just to know that if you're getting a lot of no's or a lot of not yets, like, keep up with that relationship. Like, people remember when you circle back with them, like, oh yeah, that's what I think. That was one piece of it. And I just really honestly follow Pip in terms of like the templates and the framework of checking in with them, trying to find out what their needs are. I've had a lot of success lately with something you mentioned on one of the calls, of just saying, I have a couple ideas. Could I share them with you? And I feel like oftentimes the brands are like, oh my gosh, yes. Like, what are you thinking? And so with them, I laid out like, well, here are four different post and reel ideas that I'd love to do for you. And they ended up being like, great. We'd love for you to do all of them. And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. So yeah, it was just really cool. And then the other piece of it that I think is worth mentioning too, is that one of their competitors had offered me a super crummy deal, about a month ago. And I didn't take it. And again, I just was kind of honoring like what I learned in PIP of like, this is so much work for so little in return. Like, this isn't worth it. And it's okay to walk away and just know that something better is coming. And I'm so glad that I passed on that, because if I was doing all this work for them, for this competitor, I wouldn't have been able to do this I wouldn't have gotten the brand with this deal with this brand now that's paying so well. And I feel like really respects my work and values what I'm doing for them. So just lots of great learning lessons in all of it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that you're really embodying what it means to be in the receiving mode and to stay in that idea that, you know, if it's not for you, then something better. And a no is not always a no. It could just be a not right now. I mean, there's so many great things that you have kind of learned, and it kind of reminds me of, have you ever seen the meme of, it's like Kim Kardashian and she's like poking out of the bushes. Like yeah. Sometimes it's like, sometimes I feel like I'm like, you know, I'm like with the brand, I'm like me again.
Yeah.
Hey, still here, you know, but I think that when it really works out and when you can take the taking it personal out of it, and really just come from this place of, you know, still here, would love to share ideas. This is what's happening with me, what's happening with you. And, you know, and it's like, if it keeps falling on deaf ears and it's like, okay, moving along from that brand, maybe I'll come back, maybe I won't, I'll just kind of, you know, feel it out, go with the gut. But I think that, your wins and the way that you've been going about it, I think is really encouraging, and it just shows really what's possible. So kudos to you on that. That's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I said this in the post that I shared, but I'm like, thank you, Julie. Like, thank you, PIP community. Because again, like me a year, like 8 months ago or 6 months ago, that crummy deal, I would have thought, oh, well, maybe I should take it to like try to build the relationship. And it was like, yeah, sometimes you can build the relationship, but sometimes you also can just see like, they're not going to pay me and they're not ever going to pay me. And this is too much work. So no.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
I think that like, you always know, like if you give yourself the gift of just like getting really quiet and letting that, and we all have it, so I don't mean this in a bad way, but like that desperate energy that can come up from like wanting to make something work. When you kind of let all that go and you get really quiet, it's kind of like, okay, this feels off. I know that this is not right. I think that you can really tap into that. And how long have you been in PIP?
Gosh, I think I bought it maybe in like August or September. I just was like, I'm going to make the investment because I had been pitching and like doing some paid deals, but I just was like, I really feel like I could be making more here. Like, I really feel like there's like, I don't exactly like what you talk about with like, okay, I'm trying to make the cake, but like, I don't quite know the recipe. And I think if I just make the investment to like understand what to do better, I could really reap the benefits. So yeah, it's been
amazing. You're still like a newbie.
Yeah, I am. Yes.
Oh, well, I love it. And this is why I'm so glad that I decided to create this membership because it's just been so fun. It's been amazing to support each and every one of you in this really elevated way. I think it's been great to come on these calls. This is definitely like a highlight of my week. It's always popping on here with you guys. So I love it.
Just popping in real quick to let you know about a new training that I have that gives you the 3 steps to grow your following and land 10K brand deals in just 30 days, especially if you have a small following and no more time for content creation. Now, this class is perfect for you if you are ready to really build out a clear and concise content strategy that helps you grow. If you're ready to grow your following by creating engaging content so you can attract the brands that are willing to pay you. If you're ready to land paid brand deals from the content that you're creating so you can diversify your revenue streams. And of course, make content creation and content strategy your full-time career so you can have more freedom in your work and flexibility in your schedule. Now, this class comes packed with a ton of strategies as well as some free bonuses that you will not want to miss. So head on over to pitchitperfect.net/masterclass to join. There are multiple times available so you can make any time work for you no matter where you are. Again, that's pitchitperfect.net/masterclass to get all the details.
So thanks for being here. Do you have a question?
I do have a question, and it's not like directly about pitching, but I feel like it's sort of like mindset in this space. And so I just would sort of love to hear your thoughts. What are your thoughts on balancing pitching with starting to create something of your own? Because I'm sort of in this place where I like have some good money coming in. Like, again, I like live by like the teachings of like, it's all about the numbers. Like if I pitch 30 brands a week, like I'm going to get paid deals. Like it'll happen. So I have some of that coming in, and now I feel kind of like when I think about trying to create stuff of my own and putting time into that, it's like, oh man, but I know that if I like pitch and do paid deals, the money will come. And I don't know if I'm kind of using that as like an excuse to hold myself back from creating something of my own or more of my own.
Yeah. I love this question. Cause this is like Influencer Academy stuff, which is really amazing. So I think first is just the awareness that you're having the idea. So like, it's already within you and it's already percolating. It's like here, may not be tangible yet. So what you said about the numbers, I think makes sense. And it's just part of it's about getting started. And I think that first step is really the brainstorming of like, what would my own products or services or offer look like? What do I want to create? What do people typically come to me for? Who is my avatar for this? Like, who's the ideal customer for this? And then really the most important question is, what problem will this solve for them? What is the result that I am promising? And it doesn't matter if you're creating, you know, essential oils or a course, you know, they all solve a problem. And so getting to the root of that and remembering that a lot of times people are like, well, you know, the problem is, you know, people want to feel more calm. Well, calm's not a problem. So what's the problem? So it's about thinking about the problem instead of, you know, the kind of the end result that they get is great, but what is the problem that you solve? Cause that's going to tap into the emotional psychology of why people buy. So that's a whole other like can of worms, but it is a stepping stone to the next steps. I mean, I always love it when a content creator starts pitching and loves it and then starts to get these little like glimmers of like, maybe I want to create something of my own. And that's really where the academy comes in. So that's the first place that I would start with, just some of that brainstorming stuff.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right.
Hi guys. So, nothing particularly special happened this week. I mean, I realized
we don't say that.
All right. My win is that I realize that I really like what I'm doing. Like, I'm not just doing it just to do it. Like, I really genuinely enjoy what I'm doing. With that being said,
A win. That is special. That is very, very special. Let's take that in, because that's important to take it. We're not just going to bypass that. That's everything. Being able to find joy in what it is that you do. Do you know how many people never find joy in what it is that they do?
Yeah.
Like, that's it. You don't even have to do anything else. Like, if you came on and said, I found joy in what I love to do, and that's it, because I did that, I'm not doing anything else.
Yeah.
That's a huge win. Okay. So we're embodying that. And now your question.
So I like what I do so much that I don't know what happened. Like, I went from last week being like, okay, what content am I going to do? And I try to plan things out to, oh, I want to, you know, be paid for my abilities and my content, to, oh, I'm willing to take any opportunity that comes my way. So now you have no idea. I have like 6 brands on my desk of content that I don't know why I agreed to do these things, and it's not paying me well enough. I don't know if it's because I'm doing it through like these third party websites and stuff. And although I'm like happy to get the free product and I'm getting like a little bit of something, I'm not under, I can't, for some reason I have this thing in my brain that I have to hop on any opportunity because it can move. I need help with like, it's more of like a mindset thing, just knowing that it's okay to not take on every opportunity.
Right.
Because it's not that I don't like, because I am.
And you're basically saying like, there's a lot of amazing abundance around me, but I'm mad at the abundance because I'm not getting paid what I want. And so in some ways it's like, yes, that's true. Like, what this is showing you is that there is always going to be an abundance of opportunity. Like, there's so much like, we will never in our lifetime be able to do as much as we would want to do, because it's constant new creation coming at us all the time. So I think it's smart that you're thinking about the exchange of energy, right? Like I want this to feel aligned and good. Like, yes, there's all these amazing opportunities, but it doesn't feel aligned for me right now because I'm not able to get, I haven't been able to have the confidence to ask for my worth yet of what I want to be paid to this. So my thought to you would be follow through with your commitments and then listen to what this is teaching you. Where, when you say yes to something, and this is what I want you to start asking yourself before you say yes to something. When you have an opportunity in front of you, because you're always going to have opportunities in front of you, there's never going to be a lack of opportunities. So I first want you to realize that there's no scarcity when it comes to the opportunities. And you have just proved this to yourself by the amount of abundance that you now have that like you can't even handle, right? So it's, does this opportunity light me up and make me feel expansive? And like, is it a hell yes? Because if it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no. And that's all you have to know about it. And you can move on. So it's about being honest with yourself on, is this a hell yes? Maybe no, then it's a no. It's either a hell yes, or it's a hell no. And that's it. And then trusting yourself in that, because that's where you start to really reap the benefits of the power of saying no. So there's a great gift that you're learning and saying yes, because now you're just like, ah, but I wouldn't even worry about, is it because I'm on this app or this app or this? Because then you just start focusing on what you don't have. And so you just kind of keep getting more of what you think you need. And really anything that we ever need in life is just because we think it's going to make us feel better. So I want you to start thinking of it in those ways. Like it's either a hell yes or a hell no. If it's hell no, it's moving on. I don't have to think about it. And then if it's a heck yes, I'll say heck yes. Then you can start to really step into that and embody that. And that's when you can start to then play with the fun that is asking for what you want and negotiating and, you know, throwing out a number and seeing what they say. But the first step is trusting yourself and not abandoning what you really want and what feels aligned to you. Does that help?
Yes, I can do that. That was like a really good answer. Thank you.
You're so welcome. All right. I'm just going down the list here.
Well, I guess so. My win would probably be just that I'm feeling a lot more confident in reaching out to brands. So that to me is a big win. And so, but I have a couple of questions. So I have reached out to a company and I DM'd them and I got a response that they needed to discuss it with their team. And then I reached out again, like probably 3 weeks later, because I hadn't heard anything. And they said, that their team is working on collabs and plans for the year. And we'll be in touch soon. And then I haven't heard anything again, and it's been probably 3 weeks again. So what would you suggest in moving forward?
Reach out. Keep following up.
Okay.
And you know, there may not be anything. It's like, I know that what we want is not this. We want an answer. We want a deal. And it still could happen. It's just not happening on your time. And that's okay. So it's patience and it's following up and continuing to follow up and not letting it hinder you from also going after new opportunities, because this is about not taking it personal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
So how would you approach that in following up? Just say, hey, I'm just checking in again.
I'm checking in again. It's a new day. It's a new season. It's a new, whatever you want to wrangle. And, you know, even Beth Ann had a great, before you popped on, she had a great story exactly about this and how, you know, she just kind of followed up over a series of like 7 or so months and then finally locked in the deal. So, you know, even just touching in with yourself, so it doesn't become this, like, when can I follow up? When's the right time? It's like, just ask yourself, hey, today, like, does it feel good? Do I want to follow up with them again? Like, maybe it feels good. Maybe I'll wait until tomorrow. Okay. And just kind of, there's no right answer to that. Just, I think the right answer is being in a flow of consistently following up until you get a no, and then you can learn from your no's and go from there.
I am a yoga and wellness coach. And so I'm trying to balance how much I put into, because I think there are certain paid partnerships that really make sense with what I do. Mm-hmm. But I'm also trying to get people to buy my product offerings, whether it's my online streaming or private client work. So what is that balance? Like even just posting on Instagram, like the frequency and kind of like figuring out like, this is sponsored, this is a product post versus like, hey, here's what I can do for you.
Yeah. So you're basically asking, I just want to make sure, like the difference between promoting other brands versus promoting your own stuff. Yeah. So there is no right or wrong answer to this. I think it comes within your own testing of those things. I'm going to just share a few things. It's your own testing of those things to see how your audience responds. But then I think it's also about you getting really honest. And I mean, I went through this, like, I think if you are someone who has your own business, like, you know, we have a brand and we pitch to brands and we monetize our Instagram and our social media, and we learn how to build collaborations and partnerships and sponsorships. And that's one revenue stream to a business, right? Then there's going to be some of you like me that have your own products and services and you're wanting to scale and grow that. And so you have to kind of find a good medium between, you know, what feels good for me to promote other people and other brands versus promoting my own things. And sometimes it even takes, I know that when I was really making the shift of like basically just exclusively doing brand partnerships, when I started to create programs and courses and that, I kind of took a back seat with partnerships because I needed to start helping my audience understand that I also was a solution if they had the specific problem that I could be a solution provider for, and building that up and then kind of creating a balance now with that. The two things can absolutely happen. I mean, I have podcast ads on my podcast every single week. I work with brand partners that way. So it's about not, and something else I also want to share too, is especially in now with the amount of content that is thrown in front of people, the amount of choices that we have as consumers, the way that the algorithm works and how a lot of times we don't even see people's content. I want you to remember that you kind of have to remind people 17 gazillion thousand billion times about what it is that you have to offer, because most of the time they have no idea that it exists. It's like what you were just saying. I just heard about Shine. I've been talking about Shine for 3 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a little bit of that and kind of finding that balance between, you know, I have a business where I choose to promote other products and services. And I also have a business where I have my own products and services, and how do those marry together? And you may have certain seasons where you put your own products and services on the forefront, and then some seasons where you mix it together. Does that help you at all?
Yeah, it does.
My friends, as creators, we work so hard creating our content. So we don't want to leave it up to things like an algorithm to determine how successful our online brands and businesses can be. And that is why I love Kajabi. Kajabi is the ultimate all-in-one platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs like myself build successful online businesses by unlocking predictable, recurring revenue. And I know they can help you too. No matter your niche, Kajabi makes it easy to turn your skills, your passions, your experiences into enriching offers like online courses, exclusive membership sites, subscription podcasts, communities, personalized coaching, and so much more. What I love about Kajabi is that not only does it make it super easy to use, but they don't take a cut of your revenue because everything is owned and controlled by you. You don't need a huge audience to make a sustainable income online. I talk about that all the time here on the podcast. There are thousands of creators on Kajabi making 6 and 7 figures without having hundreds of thousands of followers. And you can too. Right now, Kajabi is offering a free 30-day trial to start your business. Go to kajabi.com/influencer. That's kajabi.com/influencer. go to kajabi.com/influencer and join the creators and entrepreneurs who have made over $7 billion. My friends, have you ever thought that you have done the hard part? You have started your business and you have taken that leap from belief into really stepping out and claiming a vision for yourself. But you know that if you want to make money doing what you love, you need other support. You need to grow. You need to scale. You need a marketing strategy. You need a lot of this stuff. Now, of course, I talk so much about these things, right? Like how to identify your target audience, where to find them, which marketing channels to focus on so you're really making the most out of your budget. And of course, how to use things like data to set goals. But there's another great podcast that I love out there that also talks about this stuff. And it's called This Is Small Business. This Is Small Business, an original podcast from Amazon, answers so many of these kinds of questions. Whether you're dreaming of starting your business or you're looking to take a part-time side hustle full-time, or maybe you're a few years in and you're ready to scale, This Is Small Business is going to give you the practical tips that you can start using today. And I know that if you love these topics on my podcast, you're going to love them on this one too. Make sure to follow This Is Small Business on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you don't miss these fantastic episodes. And a big thanks to This Is Small Business for sponsoring the show.
And I get one other question, kind of just piggybacking off of that. When I'm talking to brands, like obviously we work a lot in the digital space on Instagram. Is it ever appropriate? Is it ever beneficial? My following is not huge. It's 1300 something, but I'm in Birmingham, Alabama, and I'm really well known here for what I do. That can get frustrating because I'm like, well, in my town, like people know to come to me. That doesn't necessarily translate.
Well, it could locally. I mean, if you're the biggest fish in your pond, it's like use that to your advantage. And here's the thing too, that works. If you're able to prove, you know, that you can sell your own products and services, it makes you more viable to a brand. You know, if a brand wants me to promote a product that's $15 and my average price point of every customer that comes through me is like $420, well, then it's like they know, they're like, wow, if people invest hundreds of dollars in Julie, if not thousands of dollars in Julie, well, then, you know,
right.
I think that clearly she can convert, right? And so you have more to offer than just the following, the engagement, the impressions, the da-da-da. Because you're able to prove that you can actually sell. Mm-hmm. And so now you got to prove that you can sell other people's stuff and your stuff. But that's why, like I always say in this, you know, we're in sales. Whether you want to admit it to yourself or not, pitching is selling. I can understand that it's scary, but the more that we resist it, the more it just makes it harder. Like, and service is sales. And so I think that you more, I think, honoring your local stardom and really like honing into that and going to those local brands, local banks that have money, you know, and talking about partnering with you, I think speaks volumes. There's girls like that that do that all the time here in Nashville. I think a lot of times we can kind of side-eye the local community, but it's like, that's where you're going to get your biggest support. So I would say double down on that and you know, really kind of own that. And then, you know, pitching is going to help you with the partnerships, sponsorships, collaborations, and all of that. The Academy really helps you build out and scale a business of your own. And then Shine is a higher level mastermind for women who have been in business for a while. They're already making multi-six figures in their own products and services that they're selling, and they're wanting to scale. So that's kind of the difference between those things. And you and I can talk offline if you ever have any other questions about that.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
So I don't really have a win, but I guess my win for this week is that I completed Pitch It Perfect.
Great.
So I guess that would be my win.
Yes, that's a huge win. Congratulations.
Thank you. But my question is, I've been in radio for, I don't know, 20 years. And I've been doing brand reviews and brand features for a few years, but it's always been for free. Mm-hmm. So brands, well, PR reps, agencies reach out to me all the time. And now they're asking me why I'm charging or why I'm asking for a budget when they've always come to me and I've always been like, oh yeah, send your product, we'll feature it, you know, blah, blah, blah. So my question is, how do I explain to them that I don't want to necessarily, I guess, work for free anymore? Because I've always been like the girl that always, you know, like accepts everything, everyone. I never really turn anything down because I don't like when people turn me down. And I just hate being mean. I don't like to say no.
Well, and here's it's like you can't respond to them and be like, because I'm no longer a people pleaser. You know, it's like you have to have response. So I think you can very clearly and kindly just say, you know, we, as of 2022, we have shifted, you know, our focus and, you know, and the brands that we're working with. And there's something, you know, figure out a good wording that feels right for you just in terms of the focus, the new direction that you're taking. And so it now is what it is.
Okay. Do you suggest I send out, because I updated our media kit, I'm working on it right now. Do you suggest that I send that out to my contacts, my PR reps, and say, hey, take a look at our updated media kit. We are now only featuring certain topics on the show and certain categories of brands, like lifestyle, motherhood, things like that? Or should I leave the media kit out?
If you think it would serve you, you can. But, okay. You know, it's, if they're going to reach out and then you start the back and forth, you're going to give them the media kit then too. So you get to make the decision, like, do I need to like PSA this? Or, you know, are we just going to have that dialogue when they email me?
Okay. I collaborated with a brand. They told me that, I don't know if you saw my question in the group. They told me that they would reimburse me, and now they're ignoring me. I sent the receipt, the email, everything about like four times, and they responded twice saying, please resend the receipt. I resent it. I called the PR rep's assistant. I've emailed her.
Yeah. This is just one of those things that it's like, so what was the tough lesson that you learned from this?
Yeah. I mean, I know what I learned.
Yeah.
But I've worked with them in the past for 2 or 3 years. So I really thought, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know, it stinks when people disappoint us. And who knows, maybe they'll surprise you and they'll be like, hey, I fell off a cliff and now I'm back in the office and here we're reimbursing you. Or maybe they're just going to ghost. But I think, you know, it's a, you know, we got to focus on the things that we can change, not the things that we can't. And we can't change other people, places, and things. So what you can change in the future is not offering to do that with a reimbursement. Right.
Yeah, I think I'm going to put that in my like guidelines.
Yeah, it's just a boundary.
Yeah.
And that's not a weird ask. At all.
Yeah. I just thought, you know, like I fulfilled my end. I thought that they would fulfill theirs, but
I think most people do, but then sometimes, you know, people are just jerks. We've all been there. It's like one of those, well, never going to do that again. Thank you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thank you for that lesson.
Yes. So that's all my questions for today.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for showing up today. Lots of great questions, lots of fantastic wins. We will be back next week and we'll see you soon.
As always, thank you so much for joining me today and every week here on the Influencer Podcast. If you're wanting to dive deeper into the topics and discussions that we have here, I would encourage you to head over to juliesolomon.net and sign up for my weekly newsletter. It is in our amazing newsletter community that we are able to really support you on a much larger scale. And I love to do a ton of amazing things that I send inside your inbox every single week. So just head over to juliesolomon.net. You'll see a little spot there that you can add your information in, and you will get on the list and start receiving all of that good stuff.